Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 4.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back this evening. Today is the 30th of July, 2018. Just thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you all for calling in at 646-668-2636, or if you're listening on live at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We thank you again for taking time out of your schedule and joining us this evening. We can continue our conversation about nurturing culture evangelism. What we have to do in the body of Christ as confessed believers in Christ, we have to take opportunity, and I'm going to take this opportunity to encourage the brothers, men, women, and all those who are listening, about the importance of evangelizing, about sharing the gospel, giving the good news with the unsaved world. Understand that in this culture, in this world, and what's going on, we know that Christ's return is imminent. Christ can return at any time. But we also have know that there are people out here who have not heard the gospel, have not been shared the good news of the grace and power of Jesus Christ. We don't know that accepting Christ for the remission and forgiveness of sin, not only their sin, but the sin of all mankind because of the death of Adam. We are all tainted with the sin, disobedient, and rebellious spirit. So we want to encourage folk. We have to nurture. We have to start to set a culture in evangelism. We do a lot of things in our fellowships and our ministries, but sometimes we get evangelism is pushed back. And also not so much in the congregation, individually, individual person, individual Christians, individual believers, every husband, father, every mother and wife, every child, everyone who confessed Christ in some way, somehow, each of us is responsible to share the gospel message, to be light and salt in this culture and in the world, all over the world, starting in your neighborhood, starting in your home, for the husbands and fathers and for mothers and wives in our home. Are we assured and have we faithfully shared the gospel message, the true meaning of Jesus Christ's birth, death, and resurrection with those in our immediate circle of influence and in our families and in our bloodline? Amen? Because I think that's one of the things we forget in the church. But then after that, are we going out? Are we ministering to the strangers? I know some believe they can evangelize by doing good works and acts of feeding the homeless and taking care of the sick and reaching out to feed people and give people food and clothes and all these things. But remember, in doing all that, if we are not sharing the good news of the gospel, we have fallen short. Because, again, this is not about comparing the works that we do here on earth to each other. My church is doing that, your church is doing that, my church is doing this, and my church is doing that. Or I've given this, and I'm giving that. That's not what it's about. We do those things because we love God. And for some of us, it's a testimony of what God has brought us through. Because some of us give, and some of us participate in these things because we were homeless once. We were on drugs once. We had struggles once. And someone took time out to help us. But in all of our doing, to remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we are to save a soul for eternal damnation and separation from God, we must be able to share the gospel and the good news that they might come to faith and eternity with God. Because what have we truly done? If we feed every hungry person, we found home for all the homeless people, if we saved all the persecuted, we healed the sick, but yet, still, in eternity, they die without knowing who Jesus Christ was and accept him as Lord and Savior. Have we really done what Christ wanted his church to do, and what are we supposed to be doing? That's what being salt and light is about. It's about the gospel. So we have to be able to, as us individuals, and then collectively in our fellowships, understand the importance of evangelism, reaching the lost, those who don't know. And I know here in America and here in the Western culture, we assume people know the gospel and they just choose to be sinners. They choose to be disobedient. They choose not to come to church. You know, we can't minister that way. We have to minister with the fact that every person that we come in contact with, that we know, and that we are interactive with, is a soul that's going to stand before God and be judged. And did we do our part to let them know how to escape the wrath of God? Again, when we share the gospel, we understand it's not about devil and it's not about hell. It's standing for God and receiving the full wrath of God as a sinner, because the wages of sin is death, and God is going to punish, because he's a loving and just God, and he's going to punish the sinner for his sins. But yet, if we stand in the righteousness of Christ and we accept the Christ, we will no longer be sinners and disobedient enemies of God. We will be children, sons and daughters of God. Amen. So today I want to just talk about encouraging those around us, in our churches, in our families, people we know that already have a gift of evangelism. I know people who have a gift to go out and evangelize, have a passion for it, but sometimes they get discouraged in our churches because leaders don't want to go, other believers don't want to go with them. You know, some folk need to go out two by two. We need to go out in pairs. We need to go out in the company and move. But sometimes we put other things in higher priority. Even if someone had a passion to start the evangelism ministry in the community, or go out to the mall, or go out to the shopping centers, or go out in a certain community and evangelize. It's very hard to get other quote-unquote confessed believers to come along with them. So each of us know that person. We might be that person in our church, or we might know that person in our fellowship. Are we willing to sacrifice a Saturday, a weekday evening, when they say one they want to go into a neighborhood, they want to go into the mall? Are we willing to sacrifice to do all this fine things, there's something else to do, and thereby discouraging someone who has a real gift for it? Because God already has put people in our congregation. Trust me. In your local congregation, there's people, there's folk, if just one person who has a passion to go out and share the gospel, but they never can find the one to come along with them. And that can be sometimes be discouraging. They might even have a gift for evangelism to share. But again, we have to be careful. We don't let our saints go out sometimes alone. And if someone comes to ask you face-to-face individually, will you come with me to go walk the neighborhood for a prayer walk? Go to the neighborhood to hand out tracts. Go wherever. Go speak to some homeless people on the street and share something and share the gospel with them. But are you always too busy? You always got plans. There's other things that you have put more important. But if someone came up to you and asked you to take you to whatever, a baseball game, a football game, a playoff game, whatever your passion is, and someone called you at the last minute and dropped the hat and you'd be ready to go with them, do you have that same passion when someone asks you to go out with them to evangelize, to hand out Bibles, to hand out tracts, to go pray with someone, go pray, do a prayer walk in a community that we know is struggling and in trouble? That is just sin. Because the crimes and the things that we see going on in neighborhoods and communities and on the streets in this country, it's the result of sin. It's sin. And are we going to be salt and light in these circumstances, in these situations, in these communities? Amen? So again, we have to learn to encourage those who have a passion, who possess a passion and desire for evangelism. When are we willing to sacrifice a day, one day a month, 2 days a month, an evening? You know, even after you come off of work, you know, can you give 2 hours after work before you go home just to the things of God, to serve? And because you never know who you'll run into when we go out and on purpose seek to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, if not just for 1 hour. So are we part of helping to mobilize? Do we let them, you know, help we nurture them in the church, even support them, or let them? Do we encourage young Christians, folk who are just new converts? Because, you know, a new convert, someone who just got saved and came to Christ and surrendered their life, they're on fire. Do we nurture that fire? Do we keep that fire going? Do we help and assist them, guide them and direct them, mentor them, disciple them, evangelize, in telling someone? Do we, and it's in churches, church leaders, my pastors and leaders, are we equipping evangelists? Do we have gift Bibles, giveaway Bibles? Are there tracts in the church? Is there tract information, tract handouts, tract cards? Are we encouraging for our people to go out? They might have a passion for it, but then do they get the supplies in the church? If I walk into your church today and can your church members get a tract to be able to take out and share? A devotional. We have daily bread devotionals. We have all kinds of devotionals and things that we can just hand out and be, and that's for evangelism. You leave it in doctor's offices, leave it in I don't know, wherever we go, doctor's offices, the movie theater, wherever. We can evangelize, but are the tools being provided within our ministries for people to do personal evangelism? Again, some people just have the gift. Some people are faithful to the gift. And sometimes they could use the tools. Do they have information? Does your church have a church information card, how people can reach the church? We know where the church address is, know where the service time is in, that your people can have in their hands, in their pocketbooks, in their pockets, backpacks, in their car, where if they run into someone, they can give them the church information card when we invite them to a Bible study or a Sunday service. What are we doing to foster, again, and stir up the passion and support the passion of a person who wants to evangelize? And in our teachings, and are we making disciples? Are we training people on how to evangelize? Like I always say in this program, in this series, you know, we all have a story to tell about the gospel, what Jesus has done for us, because that's the simplicity of evangelism. Telling someone about the God you serve, telling someone what you believe or why you believe it. It's as simple as that. It doesn't take much training for that. They just need, sometimes we just need to hone their skills. Give them opportunities, and give them the boldness and the support and encouragement to be able to just do that simple thing. And sometimes it's just, you know, I've been to a lot of, again, I share that I've been to a lot of different kind of evangelistic trainings and styles of ways to go out to neighborhoods from door to door, to handing out tracts, to setting up different prayer tents in neighborhoods and just walk through a neighborhood prayer walks, one-on-one. And we're encouraging those folks, again, how do we evangelize? You know, there was one training I've been to that we talked about, can you share the gospel in 1 minute? Can you share the gospel in a two-minute time? It's called elevator evangelism. If you're in an elevator with someone for about 2 minutes, could you tell them about Christ? Or would you even bring up Jesus or salvation or word or God, just God, in your simple conversation as you're staring in the elevator watching the numbers count? You know, some people have that gift. Some people have their boldness. But then, you know, sometimes we have to test ourselves also. How we say, because everyone, you know, if you ever notice people get in the elevator, everybody says hello, or whatever, and then they stand there and watch the numbers. Everybody's staring at the numbers. These opportunities, but then are we supporting folk? Are we preparing folk? Are we training up and teaching folk to evangelize, giving them encouragement, and are we praying for folk? You know, there's some things that we have to be able to also do in this evangelism effort is prayer. I think prayer is the most important thing. We will not underestimate prayer. We will not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit living within us and within each believer, each individual person. But again, we have to be able to be submissive to it and be prepared for it. Study to show ourselves approved. These are the things that Scripture teaches us. Are we really have a passion for the lost and we're really going to hell? And what are we going to do? And how are we going to allow God to use us to be able to speak life into a dead situation, into the unbeliever, to those destined for eternal judgment and the wrath of God? But we as Christians should have this stirring within us. But if we believe what the Word of God says, if we believe our Scripture, we understand that the unbeliever is destined for eternal separation from God and eternal punishment. And we can be part of preventing that. Again, the Scripture talks about some plant, some water, some prune, some help to grow. So we all are called to sow seed. We all plant the word. God handles the ground. God will handle the increase, but we are all called to sow seed of the gospel and the love of God and the truth of God. So what are we doing? Again, I just want to encourage you today. I'm here. I'm in the process of myself going through some things, doing some different things, changing my approach, changing my lifestyle, changing and making time to go out and to reach the lost, to spend in prayer, and especially just praying about evangelism, along with all the other things we pray for in the body of Christ. Are we praying for the lost, and are we praying that God would use us to reach the lost? That's the thing. God, prepare me to go out. God, change whatever the stumbling block, whatever the hindrance is that's stopping me from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, and telling someone what you have done for me, telling someone what I believe and why I believe it. God, remove that thing from me, because that's something that is a spiritual battle within us. But the devil doesn't want you to talk to certain people, because the devil knows exactly who you're connected with. I know you don't like to let the church know of the sinners and the people who don't, and non-believers that you still have in your circle of influence and your friends. But the devil knows, and he doesn't want you to say anything to them on purpose, because he knows the only way he will hear it is if you open your mouth and say something because of your relationship with them from the things of what you used to be. Amen? So also, when I said this before on a previous program, for those of us who go out to the homeless, if we would share the gospel and sow a seed of the gospel truth into one of the homeless folk that we're going out and serving and feeding and giving clothes to, they, in turn, will be able to evangelize those that they spend time with. We go out for an hour a week, 2 or 3 hours a month, or come the holiday season, we're out there. But we say nothing about Jesus Christ. We don't plant the seed of the gospel in someone's life that they can be able to minister to the people in their circle of influence, because they're not necessarily going to find a home. They're not necessarily going to get out of the shelter. But if they are a believer in Christ, right, in their circumstance and situation, and they can share with someone that we could never reach. So this is how we have to be looking when we talk about evangelism and nurturing a culture of evangelism. Again, you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Clark. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can always catch us and reach out to us on Facebook, on Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook. We're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. So you can always connect with us there, inbox us there. And we have an open invitation if you'd like to join in and call, be part of our discussions. Inbox us on the Facebook page. We'll bring you in. If you have a topic or issues, if you want to talk about it affects men's lives as they lead in the home, lead in the church, or lead in their communities, the things you struggle with, some insight, some wisdom, your testimony, I encourage you to call us, contact us, be part of the program. And again, for any of those who called in, it's 646-668-2636. And you want to share your insights with me tonight, just press one on your keypad. We can bring you into the conversation. Amen. So again, I'm talking about nurturing a culture of evangelism, encouraging those who possess a passion and desire to evangelize. Real quick, I want to go to a scripture here that I was reading as I was doing the study preparing for this show. We'll go to Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 2. And it says, we pray. Devote ourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart, praying for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clear as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Amen. So we have to be able to have guidelines for our discipling of folk when we're teaching evangelism. And that scripture stood out because it talks about some of the things that we have to do as we prepare to go out, as you prepare to go out. If you're part of an evangelistic team, or again, even if it's just you and one other person, we go out two by twos, prepare. I encourage you to study, pray, and apply. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. So when we look at Colossians, it says we're devoted to prayer. Prayer is our tool. We need to be in a position to be used by God, that we are willing and that we are prepared to go out and through prayer and our devotion to prayer about the homeless, about the unbeliever, for ourselves as we go out, that we're covered spiritually. But understanding that evangelism is also a spiritual battle. Amen. Also, we have to be watchful. We have to go out with wisdom and discernment. We're seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit within us to know when to speak and how to speak to people, what to say. Because some of it, again, the evangelism is telling what you know, what you believe, and why you believe it, and the testimony of what God has done in your life. Someone needs to hear that. That's the point of evangelism, but we need to be watchful and seeking relief from the Holy Spirit and know what to say when we go out. Because, again, going out and evangelizing and quoting the scriptures out of context or not within a context, if an unbeliever doesn't read the Bible, it's not going to mean anything. But even if you use a verse, can you break that verse down for understanding to that person, even if they ask you a question? One of the things we learned, if someone asked you, what must I do to be saved? Do you have an answer? Why should I go to church? Do you have an answer? These are the things that we have to look at. Or even if you meet a quote unquote, you evangelize and say you run into someone who says, oh, I'm saved. I just don't like going to church. I like organized religion. I don't like organized religion or going to church or whatever. Do we have a response for that? Because that's also evangelism. Because I always said, in scripture, nowhere where anyone who's a professed believer in Christ was alone. They were not part of a fellowship. They were not in the company of like-minded people to help them grow. Because iron sharpens iron. You cannot sharpen your sword, cannot sharpen itself standing alone. It has to rub up against something. You can't build anything. A single stone can't build a house, can't build a building with one single stone by itself. It has to have other bricks, other mortar. It has to have the things that make it a building. There's no one can take a brick and say, I'm going to build a house with one brick. I can't do anything alone. There's nowhere in the Bible with the church where a believer was a lone ranger, was not part of a fellowship. It's unbiblical. I don't care what anyone says. I understand people have problems, but that's not. Well, how would you respond? Let me just leave it there. Study to understand, how would you respond if someone told you they don't like going to church, but they're a Christian, or they don't go to a church and they're a Christian? How would you respond to that to encourage them? Not chastise, but encourage them and make them understand what the Word of God says about the fellowship of the saints. Amen? Next thing, we have to be thankful. Be thankful that God is going to use us. Be thankful that we were chosen. God's instruction is to keep us encouraged. That's what his word is. Again, we read in Colossians chapter number 4, verses 2 to 6. We can be encouraged with that. Be thankful for his instruction in his word. He's telling us how to do it. And then he tells us what to say. We're proclaiming the message. To put it in words. Put your faith into words. What do you believe and why do you believe it? Or what is the gospel? If someone asks you, what is the gospel? How do you explain it? If someone asks you, what must I do to be saved? Put it into words. Practice, study, prepare yourself to go. Use wisdom. Anything else in our lives, we study to understand. We study for degrees. We study for our jobs. If we're mechanics, we study to understand how engines and machinery work. If we're technicians, we understand how systems work, computer, IT. All these things we study for understanding that we can be able to be utilized to troubleshoot and to make things work and repair things, or even to the operations of our job. We all have processes in our jobs. Again, there's a process of evangelism. There's a reason why we study to prepare to go out and evangelize. And then, first of all, pray for the wisdom. Again, pray for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Because people are going to ask you questions. There's some basic questions we all should be able to answer, as would someone ask us. And then, even if they ask you a question that you don't understand, they ask you an opportunity to invite them into the fellowship. They invite them to a Bible study, because you know, most Bible studies and most pastors I know, a Bible study is a place for questions. Or even if they come on a Sunday, make sure if there was someone that you invited, that you're there with answer to their question. Again, we have to be able to clearly communicate the gospel, clearly speak for understanding and wisdom and discernment. That way someone can make the choice to come to the knowledge, to surrender their life. But we ask people to come to Christ, but do we understand what they're coming to, what they're changing to, what they're committing to? Committing to be his disciple, to be his slave, that he's Lord and Savior now. That he's Lord and Savior. That's another thing. Can we explain the Lordship of Christ to someone? It's not about just being saved so you don't go to hell. It's about being transformed and being renewed. We encourage folk for Bible study. Do we encourage folk to read their word, to understand their word? So again, this is all the things that we must do to nurture a culture of evangelism. And tonight, I just want to talk to those out there, to be attuned to you that you're listening. Be encouraged. Do the things. If you haven't evangelized, if you haven't discipled anyone in the last couple of years, you know, I always want to say, for anyone who's been in the church, who are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Who are you helping through their growth and sanctification process and growing? Or are you saved and a couple of your family members are saved? And you happy, that's it. Everybody in your house knows Christ, and then that's it. You don't think you need to do anything else. Or you just are you going week after week after week after week, listen to your pastor preach, and you're not applying none of it, you're not sharing none of it, you're not hearing a word, you're not encouraging the saints. What are we doing as a church? What are we doing as a church? Remember, the church is not the church is not the building. The church is us, and we are in fellowship with one another. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm gonna leave it right there for tonight, because I just wanted to put these words of encouragement out there for those. Again, anyone who's called in at 646-668-2636, if you'd like to share some insights or wisdom or ask a question, take opportunity now to press 1 on your keypad. For those of you who are listening at www.blogtalkradio.com, I also encourage you, you can call in before we close out here if you have something you wanted to share, or you can always send your questions and comments to our Issues Facebook page there. You can post it there, and we can answer it there and connect with you. Again, you've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Ball. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And again, tonight we've been talking about continuing our talk about nurturing a culture of evangelism within our local fellowships and within each other, in each of us individually. So for every husband, father, and son out there, I encourage you today, share the gospel, plant a seed, sow a seed. Don't worry about the ground that's going to fall on. God will handle the preparation. But we have to be faithful to sow a seed and invite someone to a Bible study, invite someone to a service, and just invite someone to be part and into the body of Christ. Amen. I have one announcement I want to share for the brethren out there coming up on August the 10th, 11th, and 12th. the Men's Empowerment Weekend 2018 Iron Sharpens Iron at the Church of Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland. You can go on the Facebook page again. You can see the link there for the event. It's going to be August 10th, Friday at 7 p.m., August 11th, that's Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and then on Sunday, August the 12th, there's the Sunday service at 9:45, and then a men's gathering at 5 p.m. So that's Sunday the 12th at 5 p.m., Saturday 11th at 10 a.m., and Friday night on the 10th at 7 p.m. Amen. Again, if you go to Face Issues Christian Ministry on Facebook, there you see the link there. You can join, get the address, contact information, and everything. So, again, I continue to just say, continue to pray for those in the church and outside the church. Pray for the unbelievers. I pray for the sick and the shut-in, and that God will touch and guide them. I pray for each of my brothers who are listening, and I thank you for joining us tonight and listening in. Again, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening.